you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
With your host, Michael B. and Uncle Bing from Patriot Studios here in Texas as well as in Tennessee. Patriots, today is April the 21st, 2013, and here in Texas, we celebrate San Jacinto Day. The day Texas won its freedom from Mexico on April 21st, 1836. And just like our shared ancestry in the United States of America during the Revolutionary War and the War of 1812, most of the Texian Army was comprised of volunteers, regular folks that believed in freedom and would not stand for Santa Anna's dictatorship. As the Texan soldiers rushed into battle, they shouted, "Remember the Alamo. Remember Goliad." In a matter of minutes, the uncertain question of freedom was settled. Texas would become a republic, and soon a part of the greatest union ever formed. Americans and Texans both are often described as independent, feisty, rough around the edges. But people often forget that is rooted in the fighting for and winning of our independence, be it in 1776 against the tyranny of the British, or in 1836 against the tyranny of Santa Anna, when by any conventional means of measurement, the odds were against us. In light of the end of a horrific week, a week in which two terrorists gave us the gift of cruelty on Monday in Boston, the tragedy that was dealt us on Wednesday in the farming community of West here in Texas, and the fate demanded of us on Friday, we once again picked up the rallying cries of yesteryear. Yes, my dear friends, a week in which the threads of old glory were temporarily tattered and frayed, like our ancestors from the pages of our history, we stand strong. We stand united. We stand as Americans. And now we yell, remember 9/11. Remember Boston. And yet, as the horror of this last week unfolded, we witnessed the fabric of our American spirit woven tighter. We lived the testimony of that which no terrorist can defeat, no tragedy can take, or that fate herself will ever rob us of. With that uppercut of reality that blindsided us and landed square upon the jaw of our spirit, the greatest attribute of America shone bright for all the world to witness. First responders, whose job it is, but that is done with the American spirit of fortitude. Volunteers, folks just like those militiamen in 1776. Just like the Texan Army of 1836, who would not allow their liberty to be trampled. The meridian height of the sun of their freedom to set. Yes, we witnessed our countrymen running towards the explosions, towards the horror, towards the tragedy, to give aid and comfort to our fellow countrymen in their greatest hour of need. This is what I take from this past week. Today in Texas, we celebrate the decisive battle that brought us our independence. Today in America, we celebrate our greatest virtue. That is the American spirit. The American spirit. God bless Texas, and God bless the United States of America. May she stand proud for another 237 years. And that's my editorial. And I'm sticking to it. Brother Bing, how are you doing today? What do you have to say or add to this?
I just want to say you're talking about the first responders, and I wanted excellent editorial, and this is a great day in Texas history. And we also have to understand that there's people out there that want to kill us, just like Santa Anna was and so on. There's people also around the country that are rallying to ward off these people and to protect the American freedoms and the patriotic spirit that we all have inside us. And I'm very proud to know that, you know, there's people from Tennessee that actually left our state to go down to Texas to fight, Sam Houston, Davy Crockett. I mean, just the list goes on and on, just not just Texas, but everywhere. You know, there was a lot of patriots that went down there because they understood a threat, and they knew that we needed to stop this threat of Mexico taking over. And I'm so proud of my Tennessee brothers and families of old that went down there to fight against these people. There were people like blacksmiths. There were people like engineers and surveyors and just regular people that you would not even think about that took up arms and said, I'm going to Texas. David Crockett, actually, in a Memphis bar, I think, said, screw my constituents, I'm going to Texas. And, you know,
y'all
just
can go to hell, I'm going to Texas.
Y'all can go to hell, I'm going to Texas. I don't know if he said it exactly that way. I don't know if I would have, but that's about what he said. And, yeah, that, you know, where Texas goes, that's where a lot of the rest of the country goes. And brother, we got a lot more fights to go right now. We got a lot more to go.
We got a lot of fights. You know, go ahead.
I was just going to segue to the rest of the show is the liberal puke frickin' media that I'm just despising daily, and this even includes Shepard Smith on Fox News. They can't figure out what the hell a damn terrorist act is. We've got some problems, and they're not just military. They're not just they involve a mindset, Michael. You know, they involve a mindset, and people need to get off their fat butts and get out there and get involved is what they need to do. They need to speak up every time they get, every chance they get.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And I've got a message. You know, I've been looking at our stats. People listen to us from all over the world. People go to our website from all over the world, even in those places where there are people that want to do harm to us, Brother Bing. I don't know why they're listening to us. Maybe it's some freedom-loving people in those countries. But to anybody that's listening to us that wants to bring harm to America, I got a word for you. I got a couple of words for you. Bring it on, you assholes. You're not going to take us down. When are you fools going to learn? You're not going to beat us.
Exactly. They can't. They can't. And they know that. They definitely know that. But that is why they are trying to beat us from within. Because if we let our laws lax and we let politicians get in there that sit there and make screwy, stupid statements like John McCain and all these other people in there, even on my own side, I don't care. I'll pick them all apart. If they want to sit there and if they think that they can come take it on, they're only going to be able to take it on from within. If we let our guard down, we let them take it over by themselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely, brother. Well, you know, we're coming up on the soft break, but we had, aside from the horrific events of this week in Boston and down here in West and the Ricin letters that were mailed by a Democrat, nonetheless, we had some victories this week. Aside from the victories of American patriots running towards the explosions, running towards the horror, and showing the world what it is that we're about. We had some victories in the Senate this week, brother. We defeated on several different fronts any form of legislation that would infringe our Second Amendment rights. I'm pulling up those things now, but you knowing a lot more about weapons than I do could probably elaborate on that. But we had a victory. We had us a major victory in the Senate this week.
Yeah, the expanded background checks. I mean, this whole bill was laden with race, in my opinion. You know, there's 20,000, over 20,000 gun bills, okay, Michael, up there that anybody can sit there and legislate, but a lot of them they don't. But the thing is that they sit there and want to keep passing more bills because it's politically expedient for them to. It makes them look good. It makes them look good, and that's all they're into anymore, Michael.
Well, we got a live read. You got a live read?
Yeah. Conservatives respect pioneers, and Brenda Ward has been with ConservativeNationRadio.org since the very beginning. Michelle Malkin, Laura Ingraham, Ann Coulter, and Monica Crowley have nothing on Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing. Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central. That's the place to hear from real women real women who are real patriots. So let your voice be heard. Incidentally, conservative guys are welcome to at their very own B&B. Women Patriots with Brendan Ward and Barbara Buffing on conservativenationradio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives.
We'll be back in just a few minutes. Kurt, saw your thing over in Trad-Am. We'll get her on.
The traditional light bulb, a groundbreaking invention in 1879. Other groundbreaking ideas from that time, the whalebone corset, the pedal-operated submarine, and the two-story outhouse. We've come a long way since then. It's time our light bulbs did the same. Visit EnergySavers.gov and learn about energy-saving light bulbs. See, these new bulbs are more efficient than the old ones, like a text message is more efficient than a carrier pigeon. They last longer, too, like how we humans last longer now that doctors use antibiotics instead of leeches. And they cut down on our energy costs, because in our own groundbreaking age of aeroplanes and moving pictures, we deserve a light bulb that saves us some cash. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
You must be your fairy godmother.
In the classic fairy tale, Cinderella's dream comes true because the glass slipper fits.
It fits.
In our world, the right fit can be just as important.
Good heavens, child. You can't go in there.
Especially when it comes to car seats. Always choose a car seat that's the right fit for your child's age and size.
Oh, that does make a difference.
To make sure your little pumpkin gets there safely every time.
Happy to see you. Thank you.
Remember, you're responsible for protecting your children. Their happily ever afters are in your hands. For even more information about choosing the right car seat, visit safercar.gov/the right seat. This message has been brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is Soldiers of Patriotism with Michael B. and Uncle Bing on conservativenationradio.org.
Patriotism. I am your host, Michael B., along with my brother from another mother, Uncle Bing, here in Patriot Studios, Texas, as well as Patriot Studios, Tennessee. The time is about 19 minutes after the top of the hour. The phone number, 718-305-7176. Again, that's 718-305-7176. We do invite you to call in. We take calls from all folks. Brother Kurt, I saw your heads up. We might entertain that phone call. And we'll have fun with it. We love us some troll hunting. That's what we do. We've had a rough week this last week, folks, but in all of that, we learned a lot about ourselves once again. You know, things happen to us, brother, being 9/11, and then we tend to go to sleep. We tend to forget. We get weary. And I think that's what happened here. I'm not going to point the dirty finger at anybody in particular. We knew this was going to happen. I don't think it would have mattered who was in the White House. Here's my problem. Where these guys might be an anomaly to, say, the Al-Qaeda types that we had been fighting over in Iraq and Afghanistan, I do believe we're setting ourselves up for trouble. You know, Hannibal Baraka had it right, and Kurt can probably talk to this. Our history mentor, Kurt Blackwood of Tennessee there, of Paris, Henry County, great patriot who teaches us a lot. You know, Hannibal Baraka had it right in the Second Punic War when he took the fight from Carthage and went across the mountains and with his elephants and everything and took the fight to the Romans. Now, he ultimately lost the war. So in that regard, I don't want to make the analogy. But the analogy to be drawn that many great generals in our war colleges have studied are the tactics of Hannibal Baraka. And either unbeknownst or beknownst to President Bush, he had it right when he took the fight to Iraq and to Afghanistan. We fight these bastards on their home front. We keep them tied up over there, and they won't harm us over here. Now, maybe these two little idiots were an anomaly, but folks, Bing, I think you can elaborate. You might agree. I think that what we're going to start seeing now is something totally different. These people have adapted. They may be the one-off sleeper cell. They may be the loner sleeper cells. There's real no chatter or coordination with the larger group of Al-Qaeda or Hamas or the Muslim Brotherhood or any of those pieces of shit over there from the Middle East. But the fact of the matter is, I think we're going to start seeing a country that more resembles what our friends in Israel have to live with now, our friends over in Europe have to live with. And I've been working with my family and my wife, whom often goes out in areas that could be unsafe without me. And if I'm not there to tell them what to do or how to react right then and there when they hear that gunfire or when they hear that explosion, they're probably going to do like a lot of people, and they're going to run, which is the worst thing that you can do. Because you might run, first of all, if there's gunfire, you're going to leave yourself open and exposed for a longer period of time. And or if it's an explosion, you might run in, because what these bastards do is they set up a small explosion, and then so that people will run and then run into a larger explosion. So I'm working with my family to understand that you hit the deck immediately. Hit the deck. My wife is to cover them. You know, if they're laying down lengthwise, she's to cover them perpendicular, covering the vital parts there on their chest and heads as much as she can. And to seek that cover by hitting the dirt immediately, hitting the deck immediately. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. Also, you know, there's the A-frame type equation, too, the triangle, where, you know, you try to look for things. When things are blowing up around you, you don't want to be out in the open. So you try to get yourself away, shield yourself, and then get right by, even in a fetal position, next to some kind of structure, you know, right next to it, because most of these people that respond to this and rescue these people out of these situations will find people that have been trapped for days and days still alive, but they're next to concrete enclosures and all that kind of thing. I mean, you know, it's just something that you have to learn, you have to impart to other people. I mean,
it has to be second nature. It has to be
second nature. Yeah, and like you said, this is getting to be like Beirut or like Israel, where we're sitting there and we're not being protected, really, because how are we being protected when this went down? Now, obviously, I don't think we can stop everything, but it seems like, from what I'm gathering, is that the government knew about these two little freaks, and they didn't do anything to stop them.
Yeah. And here's the thing. You know, it doesn't matter whom would have been in the White House. You know, a president, and look, you know that I'd be the last person to speak well of the current administration, and I'm not speaking well of them. I'm sure there was mistakes made in this. But nope, not even Ronald Reagan could give us 100% security. But what a strong leader can project, which this current president doesn't, is strength. And that goes a long way, the projection of strength. I this president doesn't do that. He doesn't project the strength that tells those would-be people that want to do harm to us, leave us the hell alone.
Well, look, he was sitting there talking that they didn't know. They were going to catch these people. They were going to find out who they were, but he did not call them terrorists. We got the Fort Hood shooter out there that's labeled a domestic workplace accident. I mean, come on. Can we not call terrorism for what it is, terrorism? This is what I'm afraid of the most, Michael, is that we cannot recognize the enemy. We don't want to. We don't want to offend them. We don't want to offend the Muslims, you know, the peaceful ones out there. Well, I'm sorry. I don't know of any peaceful Muslims. That's just me.
I don't know. I don't either.
There might be out there. I don't know of any. Okay? But when Shepard Smith, this little freaking gay boy out there on Fox News, even on Fox, I'm sitting there going, I was throwing stuff, man. I'm just rolling up socks and things and just throwing them at the TV, because after two explosions in Boston when they're having a frickin' marathon, when there's tons of people out there, when this is a big jubilant celebration out there in Boston, and he still can't figure out after the second explosion, after people are dead and the streets are bloody, that this is not maybe connected with terrorism? Well, we don't want to call it terrorism. No. You know, and then you got Wolf Blitzer over there, you know. I mean, you know, he's talking about the Tea Party. No, I'll tell you what. If you go back to every school shooting in this country, every single one of them, okay, was involved with somebody that had Democratic liberal ties. They were not conservatives because you know what, Michael? Conservatives don't sit there and blow up people. They don't sit there and go around killing other people just for the sake of it, just for grins. We don't do that kind of stuff.
Well, and you've got nuts on all sides.
We might track your ass down, and we might kill you after you do something to us. But we don't sit there and actively do this on, and we stop profiling. We stop profiling. You can't, but they'll take an old lady going to the airport, and they'll search her.
Yeah.
Somebody in a wheelchair, they'll search them. You know, we stopped profiling. We stopped all this because it's politically correct to do. We don't want to offend anybody.
Well, I'm tired of this PC crap. It's an abridgment of all it does is hinder free speech. You know, we've become so politically correct that we really are hindering for fear of offending somebody. We ultimately end up stepping on our own First Amendment rights. Screw that. If I offend you, you know, walk away. Don't listen to me. Whatever. I don't rightly give a rat's ass. But, you know, the hell with this damn PC crap. But, you know, brother, we're coming up on the bottom of the hour. My, how time flies. I don't want to go ADD here, but real quickly, let's just everybody, if you have not liked the Soldiers of Patriotism Facebook page, you need to do so, and you probably need to do so sooner rather than later, because at some point during this show, we are going to have a giveaway. It's going to be a signed, autographed copy of Carl Higbee's Battle on the Home Front. And the contest is going to happen on our Soldiers of Patriotism page on Facebook, which is facebook.com/Soldiers of Patriotism. So if you want to be a part of that giveaway, you need to like that page and have it up and be monitoring it for when the contest happens at some point during this show. Brother Bing, we've got about 3 minutes before we hit the bottom of the hour. Let's go ahead and bring on this one person here that's not a regular to our show. Entertain that phone call and see where it goes.
Roger.
What do you think? Casey Jones, are you there?
Casey, how you doing? Casey, you're live.
You're live on Conservative Nation Radio. Now's your chance to open up. Okay, Casey, we'll come back to you. Let's go ahead and bring in our brother Kurt here real quick, just to bring us down to the top, to the bottom of the hour, and see what his thoughts are on the opening of the show, see where we're going to go with him. We've got Joe Carr going to be calling in. Brother Kurt, what's going on?
Oh, hey, listen, if we have the time today, I got a great event that I attended in Nashville yesterday to tell you about, but I can't do it real quickly. And speaking of Brother Joe Carr, he was there. He was part of that yesterday. We had an earth shaker. We had 500 patriots gathered up in a pile up there in Nashville, and there's a lot to talk about it, okay? We'll do that.
We'll carve out two segments for you if we need to, brother. All right?
Okay.
Stand by. Brother Bing, we're down at the bottom of the hour. We might as well go ahead and get that read in if we've got one and do that and take care, you know, make a little bit of money, and then we'll get after it.
Oh, definitely. And that's Patriot Depot. And let's assume if you're listening to conservativenationradio.org, you're a conservative. You love America and the Constitution just like we do. Since that's the case, you're going to want a supply depot to get everything from books to bumper stickers, patriotic T-shirts, flags, etc. And your pipeline to that good stuff is right here at conservativenationradio.org. Just go to the website, conservativenationradio.org, click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse, and it is pretty cool, man. They got a lot of cool stuff there. For all your conservative revolution needs, wave your flag proudly and display your love for America and the conservative revolution starting right now. just go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution. Real conservatism for real conservatives.
We'll be right back, brother.
Hello, and welcome to today's lottery drawing. Good luck. And here's today's winning numbers. First one up, it's not yours. Second one, not yours. And another number that's not yours. Okay, this is one number that's yours. It's a 5, but you don't get any money for that. And the final number is not yours.
Yep, so chances are you're not going to hit the lottery anytime soon. Don't get us wrong. The lottery can be fun every now and then. Just please don't rely on it for your future savings. How about this? Brew your own coffee at home instead of buying that latte every day. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering in. Ride your bike instead of buying all that gas. These changes alone can save you thousands a year. Thousands. Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow. Feed that piggy bank. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas on how to save.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
You know, it's okay to rock and roll and party. Just let someone else do the driving. Hi, this is Ray Manzarek of The Doors for RAD. Please don't drink and drive, and don't drive with someone else who's been drinking.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Bring on you, bring on you.
This is Soldiers of Patriotism with Michael B. and Uncle Bing on conservativenationradio.org.
All right, and it is 33 minutes after the top of the hour. This is Soldiers of Patriotism with your host, Michael B., here at Patriot Studios in the great town of Hazlett, Texas, along with my brother from another mother, Uncle Bing Fisher from the great town of Menville, Tennessee at Patriot Studios there. What a week we've had, brother. We've had a good editorial opening up the show. Great opening song, man. If that doesn't get your juices flowing, I just don't know what does.
Oh, no, definitely. I mean, I love Madison Rising, man. I tell you what, I've seen them young guys, man, and it's just great to see a band like that, you know, up in Nashville over at the Gibson guitar thing. And, you know, Gibson's doing good, pretty good right now. I see a bunch of their new guitars out, and it's great. It's just great to see that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, I see a 615 area code here. That number looks vaguely familiar to me. Is that Representative Joe Carr?
It might be. Is this Representative Joe Carr on 615?
Michael B. and Uncle Bing. It is Cousin Joe.
How's it going, brother?
It's going well, my friends. How's it going with you?
It's not bad. Go ahead, brother.
Go ahead, Mike. I
was going to say, Representative Joe, it's not bad considering we had a tough week, but at the same time, a great week. I don't know if you heard the editorial or had a chance to read it yet, but, you know, brother, I saw people in Boston, people down here in West, the community. When I say West Texas, that's West as in the community, not West Texas as in west of where I live. It's a little Czech community about 100 miles south of me on the way to Austin on 35. And in fact, it's about 5 miles down the road from Abbott, Texas, where my grandmother, my dad's mom, was born, and Willie Nelson was born about 10 years after her. I saw people running to the whore. And at the same time, we had some victories in the Senate, Representative Joe.
Wow. Yeah, we did. We knocked down the effort to continue to roll it back of our Second Amendment, which is good news. I think the Senate and all elected officials, unfortunately, fear one thing and one thing more than any other, and that's their popularity sinking in when the good people of this fine country, and in particular the states of Texas and Tennessee, rise up and support the Second Amendment.
I think we can make it excruciating painful for them, these elected officials, to go against the tide of what our founding fathers knew was which was essential, and that is the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
That's correct. And you guys are you've closed up the session for this for this session anyways, right?
Yeah, we adjourned Friday afternoon at about 5:30. So we're done for the year.
Well, and I tell you what, you guys did a great job because can you just briefly go through some of the highlights of what we passed and what we got done?
Yeah, I can't. And Bing and Michael, I'm not going to sugarcoat this thing. You know, we've got super majorities, Republican majorities in the House and the Senate, and we got a Republican governor. But that presents its own set of challenges now. Because many times, because we have these super majorities where basically we can do anything we want, it creates this environment, this political environment, where our elected officials, especially those in leadership, want to play it safe. They're more interested in maintaining the status quo of their leadership or the power that they've constructed more than they are doing the people's will, and most certainly with regard to the 10th Amendment about pressing toward maintaining, defending, or advancing the sovereignty of these individual states. So we did a good job, but we left a lot on the table, Bing. And I think, you know, I'm not going to mix words here. You know, we could have done more with regard to our Second Amendment. We passed a bill allowing gun owners to carry their firearm in their vehicle, but we could have gone a little further than that. We didn't do enough to protect property rights of the individual citizen. I know that we passed Mike Carter's bill, House Bill 475, putting a moratorium on annexation for 13 months. But we could have gone further than that. We could have just stipulated that, you know, you cannot annex somebody's property without there being a referendum. We could have done a number of things with regard to Common Core in the education system. We could have done some things with regard to sending back to the federal government some of the monies that we receive as a result of giving away our sovereignty. We could have been more resolved and steadfast in not establishing a state health care exchange and saying no to Medicaid instead of waiting so long. So, you know, we did some good things. We did a lot of good things, and we're in a much better place than we were 3 or 4 years ago. But I'm concerned that we are not taking advantage of the opportunity that God and the voters have given us with these supermajorities by pushing to the forefront and leading this country back to how we're going to right this ship, and that is through the sovereignty of the states found in the 10th Amendment. And I've said that over and over again, and I know you guys are probably tired of hearing it, but, you know, we've got to have men and women who are willing to pick up their sword and go to battle on this thing. And, you know, so it was a good session, but I wouldn't call it a great session.
Well, we're
never tired of hearing that, Representative Carr. We're never tired of hearing that, and we're never tired of putting people like you up there to represent us in Tennessee and actually in the whole country, you know, because what we do in Tennessee affects a lot of areas, you know, of the country as well. You talked about this, you know, when there is a supermajority, there tends to be what I call a vacuum or just a lethargic train ride. Let's just get on the train and just ride it, and we'll just sit here and not do anything. If we don't do anything, then my dad always told me, you know, if you're not making chips, if your work area is not dirty, then you're not doing anything. You're not working.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And we are the lawmakers, both at the state and the federal level, are in the business of making sausage. And if you're going to make sausage, it's necessarily going to be messy, but it doesn't need to have E. coli. And so what sausage we do make needs to be ensured that it's safe for the public to consume without the unintended consequences associated with bad practices. And I'm fearful that we've done some things that that as a result of our rush to get out have some bad practices in it. But we'll say, I hope not, but I...
Well, and you know, I was going to say, you can't preach that enough, Representative Joe. You know, we've got the, I guess, an odd way to say it, we've got the same problem in Texas with supermajorities, as you know, and we just voted on our budget, what, 2 weeks ago. To the chagrin of many of us conservative activists here in Texas, budget went up. The first vote on Medicaid expansion passed. If not for the Texas Public Policy Foundation, some good people over there that sent a letter to him and said, this shit ain't fine, which caused a second vote, we would have opened ourselves up to expansion of Medicaid here as well. After all the rhetoric coming out of the governor's mansion, God bless Governor Perry and Austin, and I've got to hand it to about 11 freshmen in our state house here, all Tea Party guys and gals that said, hell no, this ain't working.
Let me ask you a question, Michael. How big is the General Assembly in Texas? How many House members and how many Senate members? Do you know? Just curious.
Oh, well, we got 100 Senate members. Not 100. Blah, 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 blah. Crap, I can't remember now. 50, I want to say 50 Senate members, 200 and something on our General Assembly.
I got you.
But, we've got a rhino as our Speaker of the House, Joe Strauss out of San Antonio. I mean, this guy's a flaming rhino. I mean, he really should be a Democrat. And I guess I can understand that coming out of San Antonio. That's a high Austin and San Antonio, for as good a conservatives as there are down there. That's where the Democrats have a foothold is down there. Joe Strauss is a cajillionaire. He owns the Greyhound racing thing down there just north of San Antonio. I mean, the guy's got a ton of money. Bought the speakership. We tried to oust him last year. But, I was going to say, Representative Joe, we've got the midterms coming up. And this is, we say it every year that this is a pivotal election. Last 2012 was a very pivotal election. And in some respects, we did well. Larger respects, we lost. But if we're going to get anything done at the federal level, we've got to fly with the midterms and get people that we need in, like Ted Cruz up there in D.C., and we've got to continue the fight at our state houses. We've got to get more people in, like y'all did in Tennessee and like we did here in Texas, grassroots people that understand if you don't go do our bidding and protect the 10th Amendment, we're going to fire your ass.
Yeah, I think there's one thing that you guys have in Texas. And by the way, Michael, I want you to know that I have running through my veins the best breeding that human nature could possibly contrive. And that is, my father is a Texan and my mother is a Tennessean. And so, as my mother was fond to say, it took a Tennessean to save a Texan, not just back in the 1800s, but and when they got married as well. But my dad is from a little place called San Angelo, Texas.
Oh, yeah, and great town.
That's right, San Angelo, Texas. And, of course, my mom's up around Rutherford County and Davidson County. But what you guys have in Texas and Ted Cruz is what every state congressional delegation needs to have, and that is, you need one guy. You just need one guy. It'd be great if you had more, but if you had one, if one from every state existed in the halls of the Senate and the halls of Congress, like a Ted Cruz, I'm telling you, it wouldn't take much effort to turn this country around, because I'm telling you, Ted Cruz is the real deal. And we need, and that's what Tennessee needs. Tennessee needs a Ted Cruz. And we're waiting for that person to come forward so that the people in Tennessee can say, okay, I want to follow that guy. He gets it. He's got his sword in his hand. It's not in the sheath. It's not in the scabbard.
Yep.
It's in his hand, ready to battle. And that's the kind of attitude we got to have, because we're getting clobbered with our sword in the scabbard.
Michael.
Just break in. I think we're talking to the next one.
I hope so. I mean, we tried our butts off to get Zach Poskovich in there, another good constitutional conservative. We got our hands full going up against Bob the Porker Corker.
we affectionately call him that.
We're going into a soft break here, but real quickly, you're absolutely right. And while we go into this break, here's something to think about. John Cornyn, who's more conservative than Senator Kay Bailey Hutchinson was, whom Ted replaced. Have you noticed how silent he's been? I mean, John Cornyn was a man that would typically side with McConnell and John McLame from Arizona. He's been eerily quiet, and he knows why. He knows that he is in a very tough situation. The establishment GOP wants to pull him one way where he's done for years, but he knows if you notice he's not gone and he's not said anything ill or against Ted Cruz, and he knows he'll get primaried, and he saw what we did. My friends and I, a vast circle of grassroots activists in Texas, he saw what we did to the money with Lieutenant Governor David Dewhurst.
Yeah, because my understanding is, Michael, Dewhurst outspent Cruz like 3-1, didn't he?
Oh my God! Yeah. Oh yeah.
Quite a bit. Yeah.
Let's do this off break real quick, and we'll come back and pick it back up with Representative Joe. Is that all right, sir?
Yeah, I can stick around for a little while. Sure can.
Great.
All right, thank you.
Because we've got Kirk that wants to come on. He's got some big news, and you may want to be a part of that.
Okay,
we'll be right back.
I'll stick through the break.
All right, thank you.
We first opened about 10 years ago. We're small, just a few of us, but it was exciting. I always dreamt of having my own business. It was kind of slow at first, but things started picking up. We had big plans, but in our wildest dreams, we never, never thought we'd have this much work. Yeah, with so many businesses caught off guard by the storm, Reed Waste Management has never been busier.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency, and 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now, before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
Okay, here goes. I know more about cooking dinner for a party of 12 than I do about packing a lunch for a 12-year-old. I know kids like things like PB&J, pigs in a blanket. Oh, and fish sticks. They do love fish sticks. Filets I get, but sticks? What part of the fish does the stick come from? I know I can read a cookbook that'll tell me how to make a red wine reduction. But where are the cookbooks that can teach me how to cut the crusts off bologna sandwiches? Hmm. Oh, maybe we can compromise on mac and cheese. Can you make that with brie? Everybody likes brie, right?
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to push your food around their plate. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you...
This is Soldiers of Patriotism with Michael B. and Uncle Bing on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
And this is Soldiers of Patriotism with your host Uncle Bing and Michael B. from Patriot Studios, both in Tennessee and Texas. We are happy to have on with us, as we do every Sunday, for the Tennessee Wrap, Representative Joe Carr, representing the great volunteer state of Tennessee. Representative Joe, we were talking about, we've got the midterms coming up, the great achievements that y'all have made in Tennessee. I kind of interjected the achievements that we've made here in Texas in our state house as well. But we were talking, you had mentioned that how every state needs a good senator like Senator Cruz, which I wholeheartedly agree with. I got to tell you, I mean, I worked my ass off for Senator Cruz in during the election of last year, and he's a good man. I mean, I like how he's so far, and I don't think he's going to change. I mean, I think if he were going to change, we'd already start seeing that change, like we've seen with Marco Rubio, whom I am not really impressed with anymore. But anyway, back to you, Brother Joe.
I think what you're seeing in Senator Cruz, and it doesn't matter if it's a senator or a congressman, each state, at least in my opinion, each state needs to have, especially those conservative red states, each state needs to have that one senator or one congressman or both who is going to Washington and pound the table on the constitutional principles that were formatted 230 years ago in the Bill of Rights. And the unfortunate, unique thing about Ted Cruz, it's only unfortunate because there aren't enough people doing it, is Ted Cruz knows the Constitution. And everything we need to know about self-governance, about what it is to solve this country's problems, is found in the Constitution. You don't need to look anywhere. You don't need to go to the Supreme Court. You don't need to go to foreign law. You don't need to go to Jean-Paul Sartre, a philosopher, or Michel Foucault, another philosopher. All you need to know is found in the Constitution. And by the way, read the Federalist Papers if you don't understand the Constitution. That puts it in a format that a sixth grader can understand. And Ted Cruz gets that. And that's what's important. I mean, obviously he's an intelligent man, but he's a man who understands what he believes and why he believes it, and we just need more principled leaders like that. And if we did, we wouldn't be in the place where we're at. I'm convinced of it.
Oh, and you know, think about who he clerked for.
Representative Carr said principled, and that's what it boils down to, in my opinion. It's principled people. You know, I think the constituents can sit there and say, okay, well, we'll let somebody slack a little bit here and there, but if you're principled in your ideas and in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, then we're all behind you. And the chat room is just lit up, Representative Carr, with people wanting to draft you. So. I don't know.
Well,
I
if they want to draft me, they could probably pick a higher draft pick. I'd be lucky to go in the seventh round if we were to use the NFL analogy. But I think what's important, what I think is here important, guys, is that when men and women of courage get elected to office, they only do what their principles tell them to. The issues, and this is to me, this is what's important. The issues always take care of themselves. When we have men and women who are elected to office lead by those first principles that are found in the Bill of Rights, the issues take care of themselves. So when you say, did he vote right on the issues? Well, of course he did. He has those founding first principles. Of course he's going to vote right on the issues. He cannot not vote right on the issues. So when somebody asks me, are you pro-life? I'm going, are you kidding? That's a principle. That's a principle. You know, do you believe in free and fair markets? Of course I do. That's a first principle. You know, do you believe in the right to defend yourself? Absolutely. That's a first principle. So, you know, we get caught up in issues because we have been distracted from those first principles. And if we talk about first principles, issues always take care of themselves, inevitably, and I'm passionate about that. And that's, you know, I may be a little idealistic here, but that's what I believe, guys.
Well, oh no, I truly believe that too. And one thing I got to say about you is you are not politically correct. And you said last week that if you go to up to the Senate, that you are going to get in some fights. So I mean,
what I said was I'm going to start some fights because I think it's principled, conservative, and constitutional-loving people, you know, it's time that we pulled our sword out of the scabbard and we went on the offensive. We have been on the defensive far too long. We've allowed ourselves to been beaten up like a pinata, and I'm not going to do it anymore. I tell people, you know, whatever God has for me is what I'm going to try to be obedient to. But if God has designs for me to run for office again, not get elected, but run, and I do that, then the people need to make a choice about whether they want somebody, a fighter or not. Because if they want somebody to sing kumbaya and gather around the campfire and slap somebody on the back and then enjoy the good times, I ain't that guy. You just don't even look at my name because I'm going up there to start a fight.
And, you know, I think
I love that spirit.
That's what endears Senator Cruz to us here in Texas, Representative Joe, is the fact that we got this man in knowing he's a cheerleader for what I believe in because I'm like-minded to him. But for the mushy middle and the left, he certainly is not. And, you know, I don't think he's going to be. And that's exactly what we need is we need someone that's going to go either to our state houses or to like yourself or to D.C. and they're going to get their hands dirty and they're going to go up against the Senator Feinstein's. That was just beauty, what Senator Cruz said to Dianne Feinstein. But here's the thing. He understands, unlike John McLame from Arizona, that the Democrats, that the Constitution is not a living, breathing document. I take it very literally. It means what it means. It doesn't. If it lives and breathes to modify itself with time, then it's a worthless piece of shit. We might as well wipe our butts with it.
Well, it's not a document that men created for the convenience of themselves. This is a document, the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. I believe the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution of the United States are inspired by God, because I believe God sets forth governments. God establishes governments. And he established this government for such a time as this, 230 years ago. Now, I don't want people to misunderstand me. Do I believe the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution is on par with the Holy Scriptures? No, because the Holy Scriptures provide a way for personal salvation through Jesus Christ to God. That is unalienable, and that is the highest ideal. But underneath those Holy Scriptures, I believe God has established this country for several divine purposes. And we could talk about those at another time. But the fact is that if you believe this country was established by God and the rights that we get from God are enumerated in the Bill of Rights, then they are unalienable. And those are the principles. So if we get that, I go back to what I said earlier, then the issues take care of themselves, inevitably, always.
Absolutely.
Oh, amen, Representative Carr. We got a double amen to that. Representative Carr, we got a Kurt Blackwood here that you know, and he wants to chime in. Kurt, how you doing, sir?
I'm good, Bing, Michael, Representative Carr. What I would like, if you don't mind, I want to put you on the spot, Cousin Joe, to give the folks your sense of the heartbeat of the message that Senator Rand Paul had for that crowd in Nashville yesterday. Your recall is much sharper than mine, okay?
Well, I appreciate, Kurt, you bringing that up, because I had the privilege, along with Kurt and about 500 other people, to be in attendance at a Tennessee Republican assembly luncheon where the featured speaker was Senator Rand Paul. And Senator Rand Paul is one of those men who stands alongside Ted Cruz from Texas, where he's talking about the divine inspiration found in our founding documents, and they are personal liberty, individual responsibility, and state sovereignty. And the federal government has impugned itself on its individual citizen states to the extent that we now find ourselves in a situation where everything is abjectly broken. And Rand Paul did a brilliant job in articulating both the problem and what the solution is. And the problem is we've got a bloated federal government, an intrusive federal government, and the solution is individual liberty and sovereignty of the states. And Kurt, you're exactly right. He was brilliant, and we just need some more men and women like it. That's what we need.
Well, Representative Carr, I know our time is getting short here, and I know it's a Sunday. It's a beautiful Sunday here in Tennessee. I know it's probably a pretty good Sunday in Texas too, Michael, but we do need to say goodbye and take care of some business. But I want to know, Mr. Carr, when are you going to be around in the 4th District over here, Warren County, White County? I know we have
What we can do, Uncle Bing, is anytime you want to get together and have lunch, you call me. It takes me 45 minutes to get to McMinnville, and I'd be glad to do it. You know how to get in touch with me. Let's do it this week if we can. My schedule's lightened up rather quickly because we're out of session, so let's you and I work on that real soon.
Oh, brother, we'd like to do that. We'd very much like to do that.
We're up against the hard break. Representative Joe, it's been an honor, as always, to talk to you. Look forward to next Sunday. Just real quick, just in closing, if you could, what do you have to say to the terrorists, after the events of Boston? Just want to get that from you real quick before you go.
Go ahead and make our day, because as long as the terrorists keep coming, we're going to keep shooting back.
Amen, brother. Thank you so much.
Amen. Thank you so much.
God bless you.
God bless you,
District. God bless you, too.
Bing, we got a live read before we go into this hard break?
No, we don't have a live read. We just got a little thing to play here.
All right. Well, let me do our PSAs real quick, and we'll go.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Remember when your neighbor found us naked in the car, and the time some outdoor action got us kicked out of the park? Getting frisky in the dark, I gave your eye a poke. I think the dog is also in the bed. Do I smell smoke? You and me, we never give up. You and me, we never give up. You and me, we never give up. You and me, we never ever give up.
On sex. Don't give up on birth control either. There are more methods than you think. Visit Bedsider.org to compare all the choices and put the bogus myths to bed at Bedsider.org.
Boy, we got options tonight.
Brought to you by Bedsider and the Ad Council. Bedsider.org.
Patriot Studios, this is Soldiers of Patriotism with your hosts, Uncle Bing and Michael B.
Indeed so, President Reagan. God bless the United States of America. This is Soldiers of Patriotism with your host, Michael B. from Patriot Studios Command Center, Hazlett, Texas, along with my brother from another mother, Uncle Bing from the Menville Patriot Studios. Coming at you on this Sunday, April the 21st. It is about what, brother? 3 minutes after the top of the hour. We just had Representative Carr on, had a really great discussion with him. Kurt segued us into an event that happened there in Tennessee that we want to hear all about. I'm going to go ahead and open up the mics real quick for Brother Kurt as well as for Brother Ron. I'd like to get a little input, Brother Bing, from Brother Ron real quickly if we could. And then let's pull Kurt in here and give him some time to tell us about the event with Senator Rand Paul over there in Tennessee. That sounds pretty interesting. But for the moment, Brother Ron, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine, but you probably do better off getting Kurt to come on in there because what I'm going to say is probably going to make everybody mad.
Well, let's make everybody mad.
You always make everybody mad, Ron. So
that means I'm doing a good thing.
I want to say something. I want to say something, Michael. Before we get into that, as some of y'all know, my brother did pass away Friday, and Representative Carr just left me a text message, and it was very heartfelt. And that's the kind of guy he is. And I tell you what, we need more people like him. We need more people like him.
Brother, real quickly, Brother Kurt, before I turn it over to you. Brother Bing, I thank you for me. I didn't feel it was my place to bring it up or initiate that conversation, but from your brother down here in Texas, a heartfelt cyber hug, my man. I wished I could be there to have a round with you and be there for you, but I am there for you. Just just in spirit right now. But here's to your brother.
Well, thank you, sir. I just want to say, you know, there's just so many people that have called me and texted me and so on, emailed me, and it's just, you know, tremendous. So I appreciate that. It's not something that, you know, we knew this was coming sooner, you know, or later, but, you know, that's what happens. And I tell you what, there's some good things that happens in the death of somebody sometimes. And it just it sometimes makes you realize some of your friends and contacts that you should call up and say, hey, I love you, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely, man. Even if it's a friend, you know. And that doesn't mean that we throw the term around loosely. I love and appreciate every single one of my friends in the circles that I run, and that's a heartfelt when I say that. Real quickly, the phone number is 718-305-7176. Brother Bing, I just real quickly, and then unless you've got something else, let's turn it over to Brother Kurt. If you've not liked our page on Facebook, that is the Soldiers of Patriotism page, which is at facebook.com/Soldiers of Patriotism, I encourage you to like it now, because sometime before now and 5 o'clock, Bing and I have a very special gift that we're going to give away in a contest, and the contest is going to originate from our Facebook page. You've got to like it, and you've got to go in there and be prepared to do what Brother Bing is going to announce, because the prize is going to be an autographed signed copy of Battle on the Home Front from former SEAL Team 3 U.S. Navy SEAL Carl Higbee. So with that, Brother Bing, unless you've got something else, let's. I am excited to hear about what Brother Kurt has. Brother Ron, by the way, you're still on live mic. I'm going to bring Boyd in here live in just a minute because I think it's been a while since we've had a really good roundtable. So let's listen to this, what Brother Kurt has for us. It sounds really interesting, and then we're going to devote the rest of the show to our roundtable and let everybody get in here and just. Rant till their heart's content. So go ahead, Brother Kurt.
Well, thank you, Michael. And may I echo Michael's expressions of sympathy on the loss of your brother. Okay? Our prayers are with you, brother. Okay, backwards to Nashville yesterday. This was kind of an unusual thing. Actually, I don't think this has ever happened before, period. Many people do not even know about the existence of the Republican assemblies. The Republican assemblies across the United States of America, they're a nationwide organization. What they are, what the Republican assembly is, and particularly the Tennessee Republican Assembly, as each state is known as, is the conservative wing, I'm not even say ultra-conservative wing, of the Republican Party. I didn't even know it existed until last year. This event was put together and put on rather quietly, actually, and there was a reason for it. People across the state were contacted, select people, and asked to buy a table of 10 seats at $50 a pop, and then resell those tickets or give them to win people that they wanted to attend this event. This is how we wound up with 500 people in that hall yesterday, and hardly anybody knew about it. And the reason for that was this was billed as a rhino-free event. We had several elected officials there. Senator May Beavers was there. Representative Carr, as you already heard. Representative Matheny and Terry Lynn Weaver. And several others, really too numerous to name. These are all, by the way, our conservative Republican leaders from this state. With some other, now, of course, you already know this, that Senator Rand Paul was there, and he delivered a great message. And Representative Carr touched on the heartbeat of what he said. One of the things that wasn't said was that one of the things that he focused on was Obamacare. He makes a statement that he believes that Obamacare overall, the whole premise of it is imploding upon itself, that it's going self-destruct. Just exactly what the all the repercussions are going to be of that, nobody knows. But we know what the repercussions of it will be if it's implemented and it's staked the way it's put forth now. Those were that was one of his main focus on that. But I want to talk about one other fellow. Well, there's a whole lot to say here, but there's not enough time to say it. Rod Martin, president of the National Federation of Republican Assemblies, was the finishing speaker of that yesterday, and there's not time to even begin to talk about what he had to say, but he did a fantastic job. But I'm hoping that I know there was recordings made of this. I don't know exactly what their plan is. I don't know if there was any live media coverage or not on this thing, but I'm hoping that at least segments of video will be made available later on for public to see. And I'm particularly interested in people being able to hear the brief but very dynamic speech of one John Harris, executive director of the Tennessee Firearms Association. You know what John Harris talked about, Second Amendment. And he made a statement that I didn't offer this originally. I mean, it's just common sense, you know, that without our Second Amendment rights, the rest of our rights are dust. Because without the Second Amendment, we have no way to defend the rest of our rights. But John Harris brought the house down. It wasn't just a standing ovation. That crowd stood and cheered, but they didn't just give him an ovation. They roared. And at some point in time, I want to be able to make available for everybody to hear what John Harris said to say. All in all, folks, that was a great event yesterday. I don't know exactly what kind of exposure we're going to get. Like I said, this was put together as a rhino-free event, and it had to be done kind of quietly in order to organize it the way it was done. So there were no rhinos there. That's I'm going to say that and leave it go with that. But it was a great day, and I hope it was the igniting spark of a new era, as it were, a resurgence of true sincere patriotism among some of our elected officials, like Joe Carr and the others who were there, like Ted Cruz down in Texas. If we do not have this resurgence, if there are not more of these people put into the seats of government across the country, the prospects ahead for us are going to be more bleak than they are now, because I don't have to tell you what we're facing. We know it. We saw it. We saw it again in Boston, and we have seen this chicken salad administration that we have in Washington now, and the manner in which they treat all this stuff. I don't have the vocabulary. I cannot express. I'm far too crude in speech to try to express appropriately my thoughts, my feelings about this. And so, having said that about the event yesterday, if anyone has any questions, I'll try to answer them, and hopefully we can make more public known about this yesterday in the future. Back to you, Bing, Michael.
Well, Kurt, great. Thank you. Great report. One thing I want to interject is, look, we sit there and we're so easily wanting to chastise our congressmen, our senators, and so on for things that they that we don't particularly maybe feel that they do right, but when they do something well or right, then we also need to make sure that we tell them, hey, thank you, because you know they need to know that they have support. They only hear, I think, a lot of aspects. I think they only hear what is the negativity that comes out of people when they're not doing something right, you know, particularly. But, yeah, we do also definitely need to show them support.
So, Brother Kurt, you had – well, hang on. We're up against a soft break here. Let me hold my question for you. Brother Bing, do we have a live read?
Yeah, I do.
Go ahead on with
it. Okay. Hey, look over there and tell us. No, it's the leftist media would like conservatives like us to think that we're just a few lonely voices in the wilderness. But don't be fooled. Americans that identify themselves as conservatives outnumber liberals by 2-1, according to numerous polls, even by liberal organizations. If you respect traditional American values, there's a place for you to call home on the Internet. It's called traditionalamericanmovement.com, or TRADAM, as we call it. The traditionalamericanmovement.com is a place where real conservatives can meet up without turf wars. You can leave your colors at the door, okay, and find out what's new in the conservative community. Join up, find out what's happening, and be a part of the conservative revolution, all on traditionalamericanmovement.com. Hope to see you there soon. And TRADAM is a liberal-free website.
Y'all hang tight. We'll be right back.
Are you tired of your hard-earned money going to support liberal and progressive enterprises? I know I am. That's why I shop at thethirdlantern.com. This conservative marketplace ensures that your money is well spent and supports conservative entrepreneurs dedicated to making their products here in America. Look, I'm a business owner. I know how hard it can be to get your product out there. Get on his vendors list, and it will help your sales. I have had his barbecue sauce. It is amazing. Check out the website. TheThirdLantern.com. That's the number 3, RD, lantern.com. Send your liberal friends there and tell them Hig and Resch sent you. TheThirdLantern.com. Put your money where your ideology is.
So, Jacqueline.
Yes, Mom?
I wanted to talk to you about something and...
Oh, wait. Hold on. I just got a text.
Oh, there's another one. Wow. Busy, busy me. So, anyway...
Oh, wait, Mom. I just got a message. My friends keep commenting on my comment. Oh, there's another one. So many comments on my comment.
Oh, I can't wait to watch TV tonight. Playoffs!
Hey, guys, check out my new video game.
Wait.
Mom,
what?
Huh?
What?
Hold
on.
What'd
you say?
Wait a second, what?
This weekend, unplug. Take your family to the forest. There's nothing in the world like experiencing nature firsthand. Trees, paths, bluebirds, streams. Getting closer to nature can get you closer to your family. To find the forest nearest you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
This is Soldiers of Patriotism with Michael B. and Uncle Bing on conservativenationradio.org.
A little bit of mountain there coming in out of that break, Uncle Bing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, the
man,
time is,
that dates us. That dates us.
I know. Well, we do a pretty good job of dating ourselves. We've got about 19 minutes after the top of the hour. This is Soldiers of Patriotism, along with your host, Uncle Bing, from Patriot Studios, Mementville, and me, Michael B., at Patriot Studios, Hazlitt, Texas. Bing, I'm sitting here, I'm drinking me a really ice-cold Samuel Adams, but Brother Boyd had posted that he's up there in Alaska smoking a cigar and having a cup of coffee, and I said, you know, that's all great and sounds terrific, but a fine scotch would go better with that cigar, and now I find myself craving a scotch and a cigar. I've got the cigar, but I'm out of scotch. I just don't know what the hell to do with myself.
Well, I know Brother Boyd doesn't drink, but he doesn't drink since he invented the funnel. No, I'm just
well,
kidding.
Well, I'll drink for him. But before we open up the lines here, James, I don't know what happened to you. I got you in queue. If you're listening, call back. You know, we were going to let you rant. You just got to wait around a little bit sometimes with this motley crew. If you're not liking
Benjamin Smith here, Michael.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's before we bring him in, again, if you've not liked the Soldiers of Patriotism Facebook page, you need to do so at facebook.com/ Soldiers of Patriotism, because, Brother Bing, I do believe we've got us a contest coming up. In fact, I've got it loaded and ready to hit post for the contest to win that personally autographed copy of Battle on the Home Front by former Navy SEAL Carl Higbee, one of our
one of our show hosts.
I'd say absolutely right. So, with that, I'm going to step away for a minute, Brother Bing, if you want to go ahead and bring in Benjamin or whomever or however you want to do that. I'll be right back with us.
Yeah, I'm going to bring in Ben. Hi, Ben. I know our good friend Ken Parrott sent you over here, and we're talking about a lot of things today, but basically states' rights, and we're talking about terrorists, and we're talking about how the media does not want to acknowledge them. What say you on this?
Real quick, Kim just introduced me over to Carl Higbee, and, you know, good guy, you know, brother in patriotism. And, good stuff there. Also, Kim Parrott, absolutely a fervent patriot.
I like her. She speaks her mind, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Or whether you want it or not, you're just going to hear whatever she's thinking. but it's always strong and good. Anyway, what is going on with Boston? Have we lost our minds? Who have we become? We're sitting there, and you're watching. It's the media as well as the society. We're sitting there partying after, a bombing. And we look at this as the situation is over instead of, there's a lot of people out there coming behind these people to come to do more of that stuff. You know what I mean? And the media is just playing it up, just putting it out there. I mean, that's just a quick comment beyond, some people call them conspiracy theories of, the government, the Saudi that they're sending back, who was, running away from the scene. Janet Napolitano, complicit with the media trying to cover it up, pulling Hillary Clinton, what difference does it make? This is so fraught.
Well, what gets me, Ben, is that you had, the Alex Jones InfoWars out there that were immediately blaming. And I'm taking this on all sides, okay? I don't care who you are. If you think you're conservative, you're liberal, whatever. But you have Alex Jones that are already blaming this on our own government again, the actual bombings, when I think it's pretty easy to see that this is not us, okay? And then you also got people like Chris Matthews, calling the Tea Party the right-wing extremists that were involved in this.
I was nose-to-nose with Chris Matthews, by the way.
Oh, were you?
Did you punch him in the damn nose?
Did you, knock his butt out or what?
I got a picture of it somewhere. Like, it was the RNC. This was right after OPSEC. I'm just going to do the quick aside. After we put out OPSEC and came out against the leaks, he did freaking almost a whole one of his shows slandering me. And this was right before the RNC. We went to the RNC. He was in the restaurant. And, kind of walked up to him. Stephanie Scruggs introduced me to him, and Debbie Lee was there as well and was like, thank you for your service. And I kind of told him, hey, I'm this guy. And then all of a sudden his visage changed into you, just because you're on the other side. And I was just like, hey, man, let's work together. Let's do this. And within 2 minutes, racist came out, y'all a bunch of racists, and just the shill, the absolute empty shell of a man was right there, and he wouldn't even come around me because
it's amazing what kind of haters they are, what I'm saying?
Yes.
They are the first to sit there and want to preach tolerance for everything, but they only will tolerate their tolerance of mind. Yeah. They won't tolerate anybody that disagrees with them.
Blind, rageful ignorance, fueled by leftist crap,
Propaganda. Well, look, you gotta understand. I guess we need to feel sorry for them a little bit because they've got about 100 years of this behind them, this propaganda. And I heard somebody say bullshit.
But if you look at them, they're just like rednecks. Not Southern rednecks, but I'm talking about I didn't mean to insult rednecks. I'm not. I take anyway. You know, there's people on our side that are like that too, the fringe, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, I'm not the ignorant people who will just jump and do weird shit. There's a lot less on our side than there is theirs.
Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background?
Yeah, in fact, I was just going to say, it sounds like we've got former Navy SEAL Benjamin Smith on the line with us. Is that correct, Benjamin?
Yes, sir.
And our buddy Kim Parrott sent you our way?
Yeah. You're
well, I am just I'm honored and I'm tickled to death, brother. First, I want to thank you for your service. I'm a former 82nd Airborne Division grunt myself, and you probably know that one of your brothers, whom I'm guessing you probably know or at least know of, Carl Higby, is one of our hosts, does his show on Thursday nights. So we are just tickled and honored to death that you've joined us today. We're about 4 minutes out from the bottom, but I want to keep you and hold you over and let you talk to the crowd. So like being said, tell us a little bit about – I just put your website, your Facebook page out on the chat for people to give you a like.
Cool.
You know, we're honored to death.
Website,
tell us about
whatever you want, man.
Yeah, no, cool. Thanks. Carl, we just kind of – Kim was trying to put us together. We've gone back and forth, but, like, we had a long talk the other day. And, you know, it's real interesting to be out here for the past few years, seeing what was coming with Iraq and all of that stuff, getting into the political warfare sense of it back here at home, seeing that, you know, our soul's being ripped out. And Carl sees it as well. And, you know, it's real good to know that there's other people of, you know, military out there. We have to step up because that's the last bastion of Americanism and stick-to-itiveness, the team, the, you know, we all go down together type of mentality and, you know, analytical mindsets. It's interesting to have another one out there. And, you know, just kind of standing up together, it's good to have other military men like yourself standing up.
Well, you know, brother, like you, and of course I've probably got a few years on you, not that I'm old, but I'm getting there. This is how I fight now. You know, I hung my uniform up in 88. That's a story in itself. Sometime we can, maybe you and Bing and Carl and I and some other friends of ours can chat over a team talk. But I hung my uniform up after I broke my back and got medically terminated from jump status. Just couldn't deal with what we called the leg army. But this is
you
how I fight now.
You did not unsign your oath, sir.
Nope, you're absolutely you know? Right. And this is how I fight for our country now. And you're absolutely right. You know, right down the road from me in Midlothian was a brother of yours personally, Chris Kyle, CPO Chris Kyle.
He was my roommate in Buds.
Oh, my God. Man.
Oh, fantastic.
Wow. Well, we have worked diligently here at Conservative Nation Radio to help Greg Mara, the artist over there in Sarasota, Florida, get the life-size sculpture. That has been my personal mission, and I'm still working on it. And, wow, what an honor. I mean, this is just unreal. Can you stand by, Benjamin? We're at the bottom of the hour. We've got a hard break. I'd like to get Ron and Kurt. I definitely want to get Boyd in here for the last 30 minutes of this show. And let's just bat shit out of these terrorists and slam dunk their ass.
Okay.
Bing, do we got a live read, brother?
Yes. ConservativeNationRadio.org is proud to be associated with the most effective identity, security, and credit monitoring service there is, LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service.
We're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
365 days a year. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. We always like when people interject on commercial reads, but to protect your identity with LifeLock, go to conservativenationradio.org and click on the LifeLock banner. That's conservativenationradio.org and click on the LifeLock banner. Yes.
Big Brother's watching, Benjamin. That's how we do it. We'll be right back. Give us about a minute and a half to make a little bit of money.
In the small town of Elmira, New York, a boy was born into an all-American family. The odds of him opening his own clothing store at the age of 18? 1 in 138,000. Excited to be a part of pop culture, he packed for the big city. The odds of finding someone to invest in his vision? 1 in 4.5 million. The odds of him achieving his dream in the fashion industry? 1 in 23 million. The odds of having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I am Tommy Hilfiger, and my family is affected by autism. I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
So glad we left that stupid party.
No joke.
Hey, baby, are you an overdue library book? Because you got fine written all over you.
Ugh, barf. What about that girl with a hoop earring?
Ridiculous. When she was dancing...
Megan, look out! Look out!
Oh, my God. Becky. Becky, are you okay?
My arm. I think it's broken.
Can you bend it?
It's already bent. In the wrong direction.
I can't believe this. I'm so sorry. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Really? Just buzzed?
Yeah, I swear.
Well, in that case, my arm is fine. Ah, that's better.
You're really okay? You're serious, Becky?
No, genius. I'm not serious.
Ow! My arm, it hurts.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
This is Soldiers of Patriotism with Michael B. and Uncle Bing on ConservativeNationRadio.org.
All right, and that's a little bit of Molly Hatchet bringing us in out of the bottom of the hour. It is 33 minutes after the top of the hour. We're at the last two final segments. Brother Bing, I think we're going to go for the soft break on this because Brother Duke does call in, so I'm going to consider that our soft break when Brother Duke calls in. We've got Benjamin Smith, former U.S. Navy SEAL, on the line with us, as well as our brother from Alaska, Boyd McPhail, our brother from Henry County, Tennessee, Kurt, and our brother from Georgia, Ron Adcox. We've got another call on there. Don't know who it is. We'll bring them in shortly. Everybody, I want to direct you to our Facebook page on Facebook, Soldiers of Patriotism. That's facebook.com/Soldiers of Patriotism, because Brother Bing is fixing to announce the contest, and as soon as the last word comes out of his mouth on that contest, I'm going to post the contest, and you will do what Brother Bing's about to ask you to do right now. Go ahead, Brother Bing.
Well, I'm just going to say go on over to Soldiers of Patriotism on Facebook, and we might do this one on Twitter one of these days, but go on over there and be the first one to share what Michael posts or comment on Michael's post that he's going to make right now.
It's done. Looking for that first post. So anyway, we've got Benjamin Smith on here. Benjamin, stand by if you could. I want to bring in three of our brothers from across this great country of ours to interject into this conversation. We're so glad you joined us today. Thank you very much. Ron Adcox, are you there? I know that you had a little rant that you wanted to give. You said it was going to piss some folks off. Come on, I'm ready to be pissed off, brother.
All right, you can say all you want to about all the good that went on up in Boston. Let me tell you the picture I have in my mind that I can't get out, and I don't know why. It's probably because I'm crazy. But that picture of those soldiers in full combat gear going nose to ass into those people's houses up there just blew my mind. What in the world are we thinking? They come out and tell us we're supposed to shelter in place? What in the world is that? Is that another word for stay at home? And then when we're sheltering in place, that means you can't go home. If you're away from home, if you're at work, while they've got this thing going on, you can't go home. I think this was all a big practice run for when they come in to clean out the rest of the weapons that we won't turn over. I believe at six they're practicing on taking us over.
Hey, on that comment, I just want to dovetail on it. The RNC, when we were there, you should have seen the way that they had Orlando locked down.
I heard about it.
It was absolutely during '05 and '06 in Baghdad in the green zone. It wasn't even close to the lockdown that was there. That was complete and utter control. It was like level whatever, just lockdown. You couldn't get anywhere. You couldn't move anywhere. There was Jersey barriers all over the place with dump trucks filled with sand to stop possible drive-through bombers, V-bids. The way it was laid out.
Those poor folks up in Boston, they've been giving up their weapons for years. You know, any place that Teddy Kennedy had anything to do with and John Kerry and all those other liberal freaks, they mm-hmm. taking guns away daily up there. What in the hell are these people going to do? They going to have to learn kung fu to be able to fight off somebody with a rifle or a pistol? Give me a break.
You better start sharpening your stick. Stay in your house.
Power in fear.
You can test whether people will bend to your will. That's what it is. I mean, if we're going down the psychology of it.
Ron, you could throw monkey crap in their eyes. It'll blind them, okay? or you can do like Joe Biden does and, just tell his wife to go outside with a shotgun with her. He don't.
That'll
scare the hell out of me. I ain't going to mess around with Liz over there, when she's out there with a shotgun with two shells in it. Give me a break.
Well, I have to agree with you, Ron. I have to believe that on Friday in Watertown, Massachusetts there, there had to be people that were hunkered down thinking, man, I sure wished I had me some better weapons, or wished I had me a weapon at all, or wished I had me a high-capacity magazine. I can't imagine.
Look at this. After they said they gave the okay for everybody to go out, and then they ended up catching this guy, this damn fool, that they ought to just string up by his balls and hang him and be done with him. They had a damn celebration in the street because the government saved them. Ooh.
Yep. Yep.
The government stepped in to save me.
But here's my theory.
Look at also what's trending on the in the news cycle. You've got kids dying in schools. You've got the school massacres, gun-free zones, all that kind of stuff. The left went crazy, and a gun control freak was empowered. Now, here's the thing. You start bombing American citizens with outside people, that is a gun rights bastion. You saw those things the bills for gun control get voted down. And you know what I'm saying? The more this happens, it the better for understanding, holy Jesus, I better be able to protect myself.
Benjamin, you might be able to answer this. Having been in the position that you were in over there in the sandbox, my problem here is, this guy lost. These guys lost their. They became un-American citizens the moment that bomb detonated. Therefore, as far as I'm concerned, they're any enemy combatants. I am just horrified that they're going to Mirandize this puke. Enables him the right to plead the fifth. I mean, I don't see that we're going to learn shit. I think I know everything I need to know already. He's a crazy freaking Muslim, and he needs to just be dealt with as a enemy combatant. If we're going to allow him to live any length of time, they need to waterbird the hell out of him. But I mean, did you have to Mirandize some of these idiots or not? I mean, what do you think about that? What do you think the possibility of they didn't they Mirandized this shithead down here in Fort Hood, Nadal Hussein, and look where we're at? We're nowheres on that so far.
I'm trying to think of the
nerve there, huh?
You can speak freely here, brother. This is a free speech zone.
Yeah, I know, but
I know you got to be careful too.
Being American and being conservative. Yes, there's the gut emotion of what I want to do to this man. Honestly, you know, it's some pretty macabre stuff. But the thing is, what makes us better people, what makes us Americans, what makes us conservative now is the logic to temper that emotion. You know, the left is just expedient, and also like Islam, it's lower human frailties. We can stop that. So, you know, the guy should be seen as that's un-American. If you're bombing Americans, that's an act of war. So then it goes over to military. It shouldn't be civil system. And, you know, I think they should be able to figure it out. Like, here is an enemy combatant. American laws do not apply to it, because when I'm in the military, you are under the Universal Code of Military Justice, the UCMJ. So, in essence, I think that overpowers it, because the Constitution doesn't I don't know the legal of it, but, you know, the act of war turns it over into a different rule system where there's military tribunals and stuff like that going for that stuff, you know, where you get into the military aspect of a different law system. Because in essence, in the military, you're not under the Constitution. You don't have your 10 amendments. You don't have your Bill of Rights. You're in the UCMJ. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
What I'd like to ask everybody here
can
on this round table.
Yes, go right ahead.
Sorry if I squirreled it.
Go ahead, Boyd.
All right. This guy was a naturalized American citizen, from what I understand. It was either him or his brother. But,
yeah.
Okay, the way around the Mirandizing and all of this stuff is, first, you have to charge him with treason. Once he's charged with treason and is convicted of treason, all constitutional rights that boy has are gone. He is now considered, he is legally now an enemy combatant.
Ah. Okay.
The one thing that has not been used in a court of law in a long time is treason.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not too sure, but I think they've forgotten about the term. And the act
probably since Eggs Benedict. I mean, Benedict Arnold.
Yeah.
Well,
hey.
No, because they got they've had a few, mostly I believe the Rosenbergs or something like that were convicted of treason and spying and all that.
Yeah.
So.
But funny, Bill Ayers was never convicted of treason, isn't
hey,
it? And yet,
he blew up bombs and so on. You know, Mr. Wonderful. Now he's being employed at the taxpayer's expense too.
Hey, Bob Beckel on Fox, you know, calls me treasonous.
Well,
Beckel, you know, you don't have much
on the air live.
But you are, Ben. You are treasonous.
Well, you know
according
what? Now
according to
we are
here, brother Benjamin.
Yeah.
We're all on that list.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I know. I got a folder about an inch and a half or two thick. But what I want to know from everybody on this panel here is: okay, at what point in time, Monday it was, did you not think that this was not a terrorist attack? At what point in time did you sit there and go, "This is terrorist"? I mean, to me, it was that.
Hello.
Yeah,
it was. It was when the first thing went boom.
Hell yeah!
Yeah, you got the Boston Marathon. This is like a big event up there, okay? Big time event. Then you got an explosion there. Then you got an explosion 15 minutes later in the back, and you got I don't know. You got these talking heads in the media wanted to keep, and even the president did not want to say that term, terrorism.
Give a shit what he won't.
Well, I know, but he didn't want to say it. See, he did kept bring. Well, we're going to find these people. They knew that there were people involved. They knew.
Are you familiar with Dimitude?
Yeah.
Who?
Yeah.
Hey guys, can I interrupt real quickly? I'm sorry. We've got a phone call I want to get in here, actually. But real quickly, before we bring on Mr. Russell, who was in Boston, is going to give us a first-hand account from his perspective, because this is the kind of radio that we bring you on Conservative Nation Radio. I just want to acknowledge Kim Parrott was our winner in the contest. She will be receiving an autographed copy of Carl Higbee's book, Battle on the Home Front. But real quickly here, because in about 5 minutes, Duke's going to be calling in. I've got all the lines open, so everybody stand by. But let's go ahead and bring in Jimmy Russell here. Jimmy, you were in Boston, and you can give us a firsthand account of the perspective as you saw it. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's right. So just to introduce myself to all the radio listeners right now, I'm an intern right now in the hospital, and I was there when it happened. I was just finishing off my shift, and then we got a call that there had been an incident, so, you know, we were all on high alert. And then the people started to come in, and obviously in my trade, we prepare ourselves not to be shocked by what we see. But if I'm honest, I was well and truly shocked with the injuries that people came in with. Luckily, you know, even though every death is sad, not many people did die, but we did have a lot of injuries. And some people, when they came in, they were just in shock. They didn't feel any pain, but they had limbs missing. They were bleeding. And the thing that struck me most is that in times like these, when tragedies like these happen, people help each other out. They stick together, and I think that's really important when we're fighting these bad people. So I guess there's not really much else to say in terms of
the unity people need to have outside of the event, the working together and caring for each other in that way, like your life depends on it. Go ahead, sorry.
That's human nature. That's natural thing. Jimmy, I heard that from one doctor that one man had 40 nails in him on an X-ray. That's just unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
And we can't
sit
there and call that terrorism. I mean, did you not think when these people were coming in? Let me ask you a question. Did you not think this was terrorist related?
Well, no. If we did it, if conservatives did it, it would be terrorism. But being that an Islamic somebody and then a Saudi and Chechens are doing it, they're not on the terror watch lists now, are they? I don't think. So legally, are we wrong?
Well, the way the watch lists work is it doesn't go by country, it goes by organization. So these people weren't acting for any organization, they were just acting as individuals. Ah. But the FBI did know them. So I think the mother of these bombers said that the FBI had been in touch with them 3 to 5 years before. And going back to your original point, apart from, I know it seems really weird, but there seemed to be a lot of spaghetti everywhere, but I'll go into that later. A lot of the injuries we saw, you're correct, were ball bearings and nails. This was an indiscriminate attack, obviously aimed to injure and maim as many people as possible. So, to be honest, I have no sympathy for these bombers at all.
Well, Jimmy, I think you can, aside from offering us your first-hand account, which we do thank you for, you being British, and I don't know, you may or may not have witnessed stuff in Britain there, but, you know, we're a little behind here in America from Europe and, my God, Israel, in the way of seeing, I mean, we saw the massive attack of 9/11, which no other country has felt. But I think we've hit a new era, an era in which folks in London and in Paris and throughout, you know, Europe and in Jerusalem that live daily, and that is these soft targets. What can you tell we Americans that we need to prepare for? Do you think we need to be prepared to start living our daily lives in an environment where we're going to start seeing these soft target hits by these one-off sales and whatnot?
That's an interesting question. I think that from a first-hand perspective from the UK, we have a lot of uncontrolled immigration. So, you know, without being discriminative towards anyone, that means a lot of Muslims and stuff. So we don't really see a rise in attacks like the ones you described, but we do see a big increase in small-time violence. So I think there's something really wrong with them. So to answer your question, I guess, I think you should start to prepare yourselves, because I think that I think it's not just them. I think it's the government trying to take away some of your rights, and that combined with the increased threat of not so much organizations now, but single people acting on their own or in small groups like you've seen. I think that's going to be your biggest threat because, as you can imagine, small organizations are much harder to control than large groups, which obviously, you know, make a big more of a big impact than
Mr. Nurse.
Well, look what happened here, Mr. Russell. If you had two young kids, basically, I guess, that took down a whole city, actually a whole state was on alert. You know, it's unbelievable that, to me, that we have, I guess, grown this lethargic to allow that. I just don't see that. I think if we would have sent in Navy SEALs or somebody, they could have got the job done real quick. I think there's a lack of, and I'm not saying that, look, Boston police did not do their job or anybody there did not do their job, but I think that we knew about these guys beforehand.
Absolutely.
Well,
I don't see how
if you can hold y'all's thought real quickly, we do need to get Brother Duke Brooks in here real quick. Duke, you there? Duke, you there? Maybe that's not Duke's phone number. I'm sorry about that. Go ahead. Yeah, I'm going to field a couple of these calls. Being I do see one new one there, another Jimmy. Let's bring him in. I'm going to field this other phone call. And
Hi, Jimmy. How you doing today?
How you doing?
Doing okay. I was listening to what you guys had to say, and I don't know. I mean, I do feel that the government here is effectively trying to pull a lot of our rights. I'm not really liking how this is going, and I think that the founding fathers of this country, if they were to see the state that it's in right now, I think they'd be ashamed. I really do, because, you know, a lot of these things are happening lately, you know, these bombings and this kind of stuff. What causes them, I'm not sure. But doing things like that, you know, it does kind of threaten our right as a citizens. I can understand if you want to give somebody, you know, some kind of a mental checkup and see if they're capable of owning a weapon or whatever. But I still think there's an area there of civil rights that are being violated. Another thing I want to mention is, you know, I believe that they should actually legalize pretty much. I'm not saying, you know, citizens should run around with nukes or anything like that. I think that we should be able to, you know, we should have a right to bear automatics without licensing and like that. And basically, you know, a good example is in California. I used to live in a place in California. And basically, the neighborhood that I was in was basically just, it was packed. There was a lot of crime. There was a lot of niggers stealing shit. And basically, so because of that, I mean, hey, I want to be able to defend myself. They're going to come into my land on my property and acting like a bunch of hood rat niggers. I'm going to sit there and I'm going to try to put them down if they attack my family.
Jimmy, I appreciate your call there.
Bye-bye.
But we don't use that kind of language. We have a lot of good brothers and sisters that that we believe in.
This is the typical liberal racist, okay, on the other side that wants to sit there and call up and use all these expletives and all this kind of stuff. And I just smelt him. You know. So he's gone now.
Yeah. We just, Jimmy, if you're listening, we don't do that. Sorry, we'll use some rough language, but we won't denigrate. We're just not going to lower ourselves. Not here on Conservative Nation Radio. Not on Soldiers of Patriotism, and we're not going to have a facade conservative calling in because conservatives just don't talk like that. Plain and simple. Period. I apologize to all of our listeners.
He's a liar. He's a liar, Michael. He's a freaking liar because he sits there and comes on the air and says, I don't want to talk about this, you know, but he's a liar. He wants to sit there and spew his own vitriol and his hatred, and you're a hater, dude. Get off it.
Yeah.
Go somewhere else.
Yeah, absolutely.
Move on.
Let's take this blind – let's just take a blind call here real quick, and then we're going to give everybody a time to – a few minutes to wrap up. Who is it, 606?
That's me. It's Tony.
Tony?
Hey, Tony.
Yeah.
How's it going, brother? What do you got for us today?
It's going pretty good, but I have some insights that I want to throw out.
Please do.
Go for it.
Well, I feel like I'm a conservative, but I don't – it's like I don't even really know. Because
why don't you know?
I go outside and I feel paranoid. I look around all the time, and I always see shiny stuff, and I always think it has something to do with the government or it's some kind of drone, and I hate that. I hate any kind of surveillance that is not needed. I hate all of that. I want our base values. I want those, and that's it.
Hmm.
Tony, did you serve? Were you over in Iraq or Afghanistan?
No, but I have relatives that were.
Okay, well, I'm just curious. I mean, I'm not passing judgment on what you're saying. I wanted first of all to, determine whether or not you've been in combat. And I mean, look, I sometimes, I'm not exactly paranoid as it sounds like you are, but am I worried? Do I think folks are looking at us and a lot of the people that are on the phone here with us today, Tony? Yes, absolutely, especially with this administration. But what makes you question whether you're a conservative or not? Because, I mean, that's kind of – if you think you're being watched, it's probably because you are a conservative. But why would you question whether you're a conservative?
Well, I've made enough macaroni to really grasp the whole fact that I really like smelling shaving cream, and like I just don't
like smelling shaving cream.
Both of them.
I think you're screwing with us. Bye. Jimmy,
the liberal trolls. I tell you what, you know you're doing something right when you got a bunch of libs on your back.
Yeah, and I wanted to be nice to the guy. Jimmy, give us about, we're winding down here. Give us about 30 seconds to a minute. Ben, you're on deck. Go ahead, Jimmy.
All right, well, I just think that the previous call, even though he was a troll, I think that he had a good point about surveillance. Someone posted the day after or on the day of the attacks, I forget which, he posted... he said that the U.S. government was actually behind the bombings. Now, let's not come to conclusions, but what he said was very accurate. He said it was one guy. He would be teens to mid-20s. They would pin it on him, and that he'd be arrested either on Friday or Saturday. Both of those were true. Then it went on to say that the Senate would try to pass a bill controlling the sale of gunpowder. That's actually also happened. So it turned out to be pretty accurate. So I think that even if it's not true, it still erodes a lot of credibility for the U.S. government, even though, it could be or could be not true. Just that's my opinion.
Well, it sounds like we've got a show wrapped up in that, Jimmy. Thank you so much for tuning in today and for calling in and sharing with us what you saw there as a first responder. We really do appreciate it, and we thank you. And, I personally hope that if you're looking to become an American citizen, that that you're successful and that you become a part of this great country. I think you'd be a fine addition. Brother Ben, you're on deck. By the way, Brother Ben, I just want to say, if you find your Monday nights free and you feel like doing a radio show, let's talk, because we've got an open night here at Conservative Nation Radio. But give us your 30 to 45 seconds. We're down. We're running close to the end of the show here.
Yep.
Ron, you're on deck.
People always say, welcome back to the real world to veterans. The veterans say now, welcome to the real world. This happens around the world, and this is war. This is what we fight and die to prevent from coming to our shores, and it's here. Get used to it. Things are going to get uglier. There's going to be more stress. Learn what you need to know, who is against you, and what to do against it. And also that jackass, calling with the racist stuff, whether you think that or not, keep that shit out of this, because your menial prejudices overshadow any kind of good thought that you might have, okay? I don't agree with that guy's mindset. He has a good point, but, that jackassery is what makes us minimalizes us, you know. So that guy is absolutely ineffective in my realm. No respect.
Copy that, Ben.
Absolutely,
thank
Ben.
You,
Ben,
for,
I will
for
send you a DM. I will DM you from your Facebook page here shortly. Thanks a lot for joining us today. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah. Right.
Brother Ron, final parting comments. We're in record mode now, so but I still want to get everybody's parting comments for the archives.
Well, you need to assign somebody with a kill button in the chat room because there's a few in there making tail ends of themselves. And if it had been up to me, they'd have been gone 10 minutes ago.
I will definitely look at it.
I love the test. We'll do it again next Sunday.
Thank you, Brother Ron. And we'll look at getting a third person to monitor our chat board for us. It's a little hard for Bing and I. Brother Kurt, parting remarks.
Michael, gosh, we're out of time here, and we got too many problems that need taken care of right now. I just want you to go to work on that, get somebody to monitor this board and keep the garbage out of here, okay?
We will work on it, brother. Thank you very much for the input. Brother Boyd, the last word goes to you.
Well, it's been a hell of a week. A lot of things happened from Boston to West Texas, back to Boston. I will probably piss some people off, but Yoker, or however you say his name, the guy they captured on Friday, I will have to give him a hat tip. And the reason why I give him a hat tip is because of his escape and evasion tactics that he used during the 20 hours that he was on the lam after the cops surrounded him. The boy did. Boy learned his trade well. I don't know how Ben thinks of this, but you know Ben had to go through escape and evasion, and I would have to say that boy had learned his trade well and was professionally trained.
Absolutely, Brother Boyd. Well, thank you very much, Brother Bing. It's been another great show. It looks like we had a very busy chat board. We might need to talk about getting someone to monitor that for us. I think our numbers are going to be through the roof today, actually. Did you have a going out song for us?
Yes, I do. It's the song I played last week, and I'm loving it, man. A lot of people like it, too. It's Grandpa Jones from the old Hee-Haw fame doing I'm No Communist.
Well, let's do it. God bless America.
We're living in a country that's the finest place on earth, but some folks don't appreciate this land that gave them birth. I hear that up in Washington they're having an awful fuss, 'cause communists and spies are making monkeys out of us. The bureaus and departments have been busy night and day. They're figuring out just how we gave our secrets all away. And Congress has appointed a committee, so they said, to find out who's American and who's a low-down red. They call him up to Washington to speak for Uncle Sam, but when they ask them what they are, they shut up like a clam. I wish they'd take and put me on the witness stand today. I'd shout so loud old Stalin could hear me all the way. I'm no communist, I'll tell you that right now. I believe a man should own his own house and car and cow. I like this private ownership, I want to be left alone. Let the government run its business and let me run my own. Government is bigger than it ever was today. The more they hire to work for it, the more they have to pay. Our public servants should be proud and honest, you would think, instead of taking bribes and dressing up their wives and maids. The taxes keep on going up, of that there is no doubt, but still they just can't take it in as fast as they dish it out. Our national debt is monster size and growing every day. Our children's children still unborn are gonna have to pay. Our dollar used to be the soundest money on this earth, but now $2 won't even buy one good dollar's worth. Unless we stop inflation and take care of what we've got, the communist may win the fight and never fire a shot. Oh, I'm no communist, I'll tell you that right now. I believe a man should own his own house and car and cow. I like this private ownership, I want to be left alone. Let the government run its business and let me run my own.
Yeah!
Ah, this has been Soldiers of Patriotism on behalf of Brother Bing and myself. God bless America. Brother Bing?
Oh, God bless America again.
We'll see you guys later.